Hello, my name is Dr. Latasha Schrader. I am a student advocate, school administrator, editor, and owner of Tempo Editing. I am pleased to welcome our guest, Dr. Alice Swift, to the podcast.
Good evening.
Dr. Alice Swift is currently Director of Safe and Orderly Schools and Deputy Coordinator of the Title IX for Anne Arundel County Public Schools located in the state of Maryland. Dr. Swift is also a nationally certified hearing officer recognized by the National Association of Hearing Officers and is certified as a superintendent administrator and an advanced professional in speech communication recognized by the Maryland State Department of Education. She previously worked as a high school principal in Prince George's County Public Schools located in the state of Maryland. She graduated with a Bachelor of Arts degree in speech communication. She also earned her Master of Arts in Teaching from Trinity University, located in Washington, D.C. She earned a doctorate in Education Policy and Leadership from the University of Maryland College Park. Dr. Swift's dissertation was entitled, An Investigation of the Use of Restorative Practices Among Middle School Teachers as a Means to Reduce Disproportionate Office Discipline Referrals for Subjective Offenses for Black Males in Middle School. Dr. Swift has dedicated over 28 years to the public education system, and she leads utilizing the philosophy of a collaborative leadership and believes the foundation for this leadership style requires strong educator and student voice, transparency, and a shared commitment to the growth and success of students. She leads with the philosophy that all students can be provided opportunities for college, career, and workforce readiness that require a strong commitment, grit, and compassion in the profession. Alice is a mother to one amazing son, Jordan, who is currently attending the University of Maryland College Park. So let's get started. Which methodology did you use for your dissertation?
Thank you, Dr. Schrader. I used a sequential mixed method design, quantitative data. I had an opportunity to review a little over 1,000 referrals, unduplicated. For our MSDE code of insubordination and disrespect. And I also used qualitative data where I had an opportunity to interview, I was 24 participants. It was a little less than that, but that was what went through IRB with regards to doing interviews with them so that I could get their perspectives on restorative practices, conversation around their discipline methods, and how they believe the district supported them through the disciplinary process.
Wow, I did something similar because I believe, you know, you get a richer study when you have those two parts.
Yes, yes.
It is more work, but it's definitely worth it.
I would say it was a nice mix because I had an opportunity to interview 6th, 7th, and 8th grade teachers, the administrative teams in both of the schools, and of course the school-based principals.
Yeah.
So they were able to provide how they institute restorative practices. They were able to talk about the impasses and the concerns they had post-COVID, the scheduling constraints they had, because as whole school, they would do RJ circles, restorative justice circles, and then they would break out in the classrooms, and that could be a whole class effort. And then if it broke down to an individual student, then the teachers were able to employ the 5 questions that they would ask the children to, you know, get them to understand the harm that they may have caused during the event that occurred that, you know, may have put a barrier to the instruction.
I love that.
Learning in the class.
So writing resources do you recommend for those currently writing their dissertation?
Wow. Well, that's kind of a twofold question for me because And I don't want to put age out there, but, you know, I'm well into public education and I'm in my 4th quarter. So the APA 7 publication manual, 7th edition, you have to get well versed in that. But I also want to note that I hired an editor along the way, not at the beginning, but as things began to build.
Yes.
The ProQuest subject categories. Being able to utilize that resource to pretty much isolate your thoughts and transitions and where you're trying to go when you start to delve deeper into your theory, you know, and your practice and how you're going to come through that theory of action and what that might look like in terms of the study itself. And then, of course, the University of Maryland College Park, they had a style guide that they provided to our cohort for 2021. That also was beneficial for me. And of course, my editor, because we had to meet often, because an editor doesn't write your paper.
Right.
An editor does just that. And it's important that they understand what your thoughts are, getting to know you, if you're going to utilize someone else that has that expertise in mechanics and grammar, and of course, following the steps of what's required to write a dissertation.
Right.
And so those I would say would be the recommended resources for students, graduate students, as they walk through this process.
Yeah, and that style guide is really important as well. So,
it's very important, because when you upload your document, if there's something incorrect, it's going to come back. And you could be writing in the fourth quarter of the semester and be expecting to walk in December or May, and you don't meet that deadline because it was dumped in there, and then the registrar's office may kick it back and tell you that you have to amend certain things.
Yes.
So if I could couple that conversation, it is important that the student, the graduate student, stay connected to their advisor. In the last of my program, because I started in 18, and we were between transition of a new dean, and from April, after the second defense that I had, you know, actually came through, it was fine. But from April until January, there was no communication. And so when they saw my section two going into section three, I'm thinking I'm ready for three. I had to pull back and do a lot of edits and updates to section two in addition to three. And I was trying to meet my goal, which I did by March. And I ended up graduating May of this year, but it was an uneasy feeling. It was uncomfortable. There were a lot of sleepless nights, you know, they got me through because they both collaborated, but there was a lot of time lag. So I would put the onus on the student first.
Yes, absolutely.
To follow up. So I take that, but they also acknowledged that they did not feel that, you know, they really checked in, at least on my part, the way that they probably should have as well. But we got through it, but it compounded the work and the anxiety that you feel towards the end of the race.
Yeah, Dr. Swift makes some good points, because mine got kicked back twice. Thank God I had put in a 6-week buffer, you know, anticipating just in case something happened. And also, you are going to experience some discomfort. Like, that's part of the process. It's not all, you know, smooth sailing, at least it wasn't for me. So, part of the process.
Well, the good thing for us is that our program, our district aligned, and when I think of the ESSER grant and the career ladder and the Maryland Blueprint for Excellence and the current commission, when we talk about where the state and the federal would like to see public school employees, you know, get highly qualified. And so this is one of those areas. And so our district has invested opportunities where if you want to obtain the doctorate, get your administrator one or two, your master's degree, there are colleges and universities in the state of Maryland that have partnered with local school systems. And so they have the open house. You solicit your application, you have your interview, and you're selected. I do not believe that there's anyone that tried to get in and they said no. And then you go through the process, and you're now registered, in my case, University of Maryland College Park, two-timer, and you come back and you start your coursework. And so those assignments, when you mentioned the compound, you work all week in the public school, but Friday night by midnight, Saturday by 5, or Sunday by midnight, those assignments have to be in the system.
Yes.
And if they were not, then you was never my concern, but that would be a problem too. So you have to learn how to be organized, manage your time.
Yes.
And your life changes.
For sure. So that leads me into my next question. Do you have any time management strategies to share?
Yes. I think that, what I do every day, I have a daily and weekly planner, and where I document in that planner the whole stretch of the week and what I have to do. I put notifications on my iPhone. As I said, I'm in my fourth quarter of my life and my career. And, you know, sometimes memory, you know, fades.
Yes.
And I also write on colored 3x5 cards.
Okay.
And I drop them in, you know, my satchel or crossbody handbag, and I pick it up and cross off the things that I have to do. And I just, you know, continue to check back into that. I block my time. But I make time, you know, for my son if he needs me, or my parents, they're elderly, my dad, you know, there's some things that I've had to assist him with. Prioritizing, putting God first, making time for prayer and meditation.
Yes.
Don't forget church through the process, if whatever church is. And that's me as a Christian. I can't impose my religious beliefs on anyone that will be listening. But
right.
I certainly think that that is important. And you know, stay connected to the people in the cohort and those
yes.
that have come through. No man is an island in anything, but regardless of what your problem of practice is, Dr. Schrader, people have to understand that there's something that we can get from everybody
yes.
or anyone other than yourself.
Yes,
so
use your
touch
resources.
Base with the people
yes.
that have come through or those that, you know, may need you as well.
Yes. You know, when you make a good point, you know, you said you make time for your son and, you know, other things in life. And I found that what was my experience that basically when you're getting, you know, your doctorate, your entire community is getting your doctorate because, I mean, there's a lot of sacrifices made. There's a lot of people that are stepping in at the last second. You have to tell people no sometimes, even if you don't want to, just to, you know, keep your priorities straight. But it's definitely something that, touches every part of your life.
Every part of your life. And
yes.
I want to say, too, I'm glad you said that. Coming through on time and speaking to the management, it was a win for the district because anyone that can build your capacity there and you learn, for example, about a PDSA cycle, Plan, Do, Study, Act. So we talk about initiatives that come through strategic planning prior to this program or the process or, you know, learning all of the things that I believe I learned. How to compartmentalize an effort.
Mm-hmm.
You may not take on the entire district strategic plan, but there's a piece or a chunk of it that the superintendent or your supervisors,
yes.
your principal expects you to do certain things in a school. So having that knowledge and being able to move the work, facilitate the work, do professional development, all of those things, you know, are reflective in the learning that
right.
you obtained. But bigger than that, when I say the win, you know, no one wants to go through a cohort and the system, you know, supports you with some type of tuition assistance
mm-hmm.
and your name is not on the roster when it's time to, you know, come through the process.
Right.
And so when you do that, that's good for the district because that's one more educator that career ladder is moved. Children will benefit.
Mm-hmm.
Your words and your talents now have been strengthened, and you can impose that work onto those that you know may have the same or more, or those that you're trying to pull up on in the ranks.
Absolutely.
So it's all relative, and I think it was an amazing experience.
Yes.
But to hear your superintendent say job well done and to congratulate you, and to be in meetings that you weren't in,
mm-hmm.
telling people about that accomplishment
yes.
meant a lot. That
yes.
probably meant more than what I said.
That's
prior
huge.
To this statement.
That's huge. Congratulations.
Thank you.
So what did you do to overcome writer's block?
That was a question I laughed about. I hired an editor. Now, one will say I can't afford one, right? And that might be the issue for a lot.
Yes.
I'm not talking about COVID. I'm not talking about the fact that, you know, the inflation that we're dealing with now is the fact that, you know, where I am in my career,
uh-huh.
there's some things that I can set money aside for.
Right.
So I was able to actually hire someone to help me with that. And so in the home stretch, you know, I was pretty good. I just had to sit and go over the things that were written. If, you know, she didn't understand what I was saying, that's what I'm talking about. You know, ping ponging it off. So
mm-hmm.
if I could translate that same thing without a person not being able to have an editor or feeling like they don't need one,
yeah.
Then of course I would say read your work out loud, and I would also say get someone else to sit with you in preparation reading beforehand,
mm-hmm.
so that they can ask you specific questions And then, of course, you're going to have to align your mechanics and your grammar.
Right.
To also, because the one thing our dean would tell us, this isn't a term paper. It's not an essay. This is a dissertation.
Right.
And she would tell us, I'm not going to tell you how to write a dissertation. So you have to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
Now, at the beginning, when I realized I needed one, she would send me links for outlining, for webbing, you know, and the interesting thing too, I taught English many years ago. These were the strategies that I would have my students do.
Mm-hmm.
And so at 56 years of age, I think in the moment I probably should have taken the advice that I gave my students decades ago, but I did not, probably didn't even think about it at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But moving forward, you know, I had the ability to be able to hire someone. But like I said, if the candidate cannot do that, then definitely get those other assistive aids of, you know, mastering outlining, mastering, you know, graphic organizing,
yes,
and getting someone to be able to read, to
yes,
ping-pong it off the person and read your work out loud.
I'd love
it.
Because yes,
if you read it and say it, you know it doesn't sound right, then there's something wrong with what you're doing.
Yes, I love a good graphic organizer. I love peer editing or just another ear. Because sometimes in my work, I felt like I was so close to it, something that made perfect sense to me wouldn't necessarily make sense to my audience. So,
right,
you know, that was a help for me. Yeah, and reading it out loud is good too, because you're like, that doesn't sound right. Sometimes your fingers type faster than your brain or the opposite. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
So how would you describe your dissertation journey in one word and why?
I think I documented and thought, I said arduous.
Oh, that's a good one.
When I say why, because I was balancing so many things to the point where when I finished, I was walking around my home, for example, looking for things to do.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it was tough. You know, you still have your job, and
right,
I have a big job, at, you know, within our school system. Again, managing yourself, self-care,
right,
that was tough. But I found, you know, holes to get into Pilates, but I would have to get up at 5 in the morning for 6:30 a.m. classes,
mm-hmm,
losing a lot of sleep,
yes,
things like that, you know, meditation and prayer. And, you know, the journey was tough. And when folks packed up to leave at 4, I may have stayed after and worked on some,
yep,
homework and didn't get out until after 7 or 8 o'clock at night, or bring the work home and would be up until midnight, 1, 2, 3 in the morning,
yes,
to meet a deadline or to get it to the editor. So it was tough, but I think perseverance through it all, depending on how bad you want it. And when I say want it, the degree within itself opens up opportunities and doors
for sure
that you would not imagine. I don't even think that I'd be on this podcast if I didn't have completed my program. So thank you, Dr. Schrader, for at least acknowledging myself and others.
Oh, absolutely.
To be able to impart something to our fellow, you know, candidates,
yeah,
and colleagues in this work.
Yeah,
no
my
matter
pleasure.
What they're,
yes,
studying, you know.
You know, and the people you meet, the connections you make, just,
mm-hmm,
I mean, it's just mind-blowing and so much bigger than I thought.
Yes, yeah,
yes.
I've had opportunities to do 3 articles with Dr. Robinson. He saw me on LinkedIn.
Oh, wow.
And he has the Forest of the Rain.
Mm-hmm.
So I did provide an overview about restorative practices. He did ask how Title IX impacts schools. And then, of course, he saw that I was a member of Alpha Kappa Alpha Incorporated. And so he asked, you know, how that changed my life and what that really meant.
Mm-hmm.
So just putting something out there to encourage anybody to do anything that they want to do. But
yes,
to say to them that there isn't one goal that you can attain if you,
yes,
don't, if you do, excuse me, put your, you know, effort and the time in to get it done.
Yes, absolutely. So mm-hmm, I love books. I have to ask, what are you reading right now, if anything?
Okay. Yes. I just finished. A very special person in my life referred me to The Alchemist.
Okay.
And I finished it probably, I'm not even going to say a month, maybe 3 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it was funny because he had given me the book long before then, but I was in the paper. And then when I came through my doctorate, now I'm sitting on social media late whether it been Facebook or TikTok.
Right.
Don't judge me. But anyway,
no judgment.
So I finished The Alchemist, but I said, Coelho, and I don't want to butcher his name, C-O-E-L-H-O, Coelho, mm-hmm. I don't know how to pronounce it. And I'm starting Finding Me by Viola Davis.
Okay, yes, I want to start that too.
I watched her interview with Oprah Winfrey. So that's currently sitting on my nightstand, and I have cracked it, but I didn't go in deep the way I did with The Alchemist.
Okay. But
when I came through The Alchemist, it was like coming through the doctoral program.
Really?
Yes, in terms of emphasizing that we are all shepherds. We're not victims to the thief. We are adventurers on our quest to find the treasure. Mm. And so, that's very emotional for me, Dr. Schrader, because when you walk through that text,
yes,
and you come across people who have said something to you, inspired you, pushed you, and challenged you, even to the point where you felt like you're at your end.
Mm-hmm.
But in the end, you find your place.
Mm-hmm.
Even if your place was where you started, you just didn't know it.
That sounds deep.
And so I encourage anybody to read The Alchemist.
Okay, I'm definitely going to do that. I'm going to do that. Because I've heard several people say they enjoyed it, but you convinced mm-hmm. me now I'm going to read
it. It's a game changer because it puts you in the frame of reference that, you know, in the moment, this is where we are. The past is yesterday and gone. The future, we do not know. But for what we can control in the moment, that is what should catapult you and not be defeatist in any way. But it's almost like this, it's a story. You know, I would hope that one day that someone would make a movie with, you know, that content, but the message is powerful. It's some religious undertones, but it's not overtly religious.
Okay.
I'm
going to read it. I'm going to read it.
It's amazing read.
So Dr. Swift, is there anything else you would like to share about your experience with academic writing?
Well, I would like to say that it takes a lot of patience, attention to detail. You have to understand the new APA 7 edition, the mechanics and conciseness of your work is paramount.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do it alone. Give yourself grace and patience.
Yes.
Obtain a mentee or mentor through the process and set goals. And even if you don't reach the goal, still keep coming back at it. You know, don't change the goal, just modify.
Yes.
But overall, you know, you have to stay true to what you put yourself into, complete the task. And again, like I said, we're not victims. This is a choice. But if the choice is what it is, finalize the work and the sea will part and opportunities will open up.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. Everything you just said, ditto. Stick with it, you know, have a plan, don't give up, you know. And one thing I want to say is, and I always say this, your journey will not mirror anyone else's. Your dissertation journey is your own. So don't compare yourself.
You know? No, that's the other thing. People, he went through the defense, she went through the defense. You're going to get there.
Yes.
But best believe when you get in there, that's the other thing, if I'm allowed to elaborate there.
Yes, please.
On defense three, that was probably the toughest conversation I've had in public education in my life. But what I liked is the way they pivoted to tap into not what you wrote, but how does what you wrote extend into something else?
Yes.
And so when they talked about, for example, tier one and two, students. You have your universal, you know, and then we move all the way to targeted and then the individual based on their behavior track. Mm-hmm. And then we look at our code of conduct. We have level one and two offenses that align with our disrespect and our insubordination, for example. But levels three, four, and five, now you're talking about more exclusionary discipline measures for students. And so I was asked throughout to parse out what those things meant. How does that impact restorative practices? What conversation would you take back to the superintendent you know, once this is done, for him to have a conversation about possibly realigning a budget or conversation about curriculum and offering this and being able to plug it into a master schedule or a systemic wide approach to bringing back the restorative justice circle in the morning or having teachers trained in the immersion, the C, RPC, restorative practice C, so they can get the experience with dealing with a difficult student on, on a technology platform. So those are the things that came through, and that and a whole host of others. But you have to think quick, because they're asking you to connect what you learned to your experience, to your job, to your commitment, and in this case, public education.
And this seems obvious, but I'm going to piggyback off of what Dr. Swift just said. When you choose a topic for your dissertation, choose something that you're passionate about. Choose something that you want to be a lifelong learner, you know, about, because you're going to eat, sleep, dream this thing, for one. And two, you don't want to go through all this and then just set it aside and never look at this research again.
That's right.
You know, you want to put it into practice.
Don't try to reinvent the wheel.
Absolutely.
Because the one thing you want to be able to do is have resources at your disposal. So my world operates in, you know, restorative approaches. It also operates in school-based and system discipline.
Yes.
So why would I venture so far away about something where you already know that the district is not operating there or the strategic plan doesn't align to it? We come up with a whole lot of crafty ideas, but if there isn't any basis or research at our school level, your school system level, then you've already created a barrier for your problem of practice and the ability to be able to defend something that has not even been tried within your district. So that if I could offer that advice as well, stay within the scope of your work.
Absolutely.
To play safe. Now,
yes.
There's some that have gone out fine.
Right.
But it's going to be tough in Section 3 defense.
And don't write a dissertation just because that's the latest and greatest thing or the new program or, you know, the new strategy, the new intervention. Do something that you're passionate about. I'm going to leave that
there.
That's right. So, Dr. Swift, thank you so much for taking
the
time
so much.
To speak with me today and being so open to sharing your dissertation journey.
Thank you, Dr. Schrader. I appreciate you and all that you do for children.
Thank you so much.
And for candidates coming through their doctoral studies.
Thank you so much. Listeners, I'd like to thank you for taking the time to listen. We all know time is priceless. Information about my editing services can be found at tempoediting.com. That's TEMPO editing.com. Last, if you've enjoyed this podcast, please follow and share it with a fellow scholar.